The lines were drawn. The time was drawing near. The intensity in the spirit realm was mounting. On the one side, there were the angels of God gathered and poised with both awareness and readiness. They were about to engage in the battle of all battles, the great war predicted for centuries was at hand. On the other side, there were disfigured fiends of odd shapes and sizes, hideous creatures that communicated with hisses of sulfur and spits of fire. All eyes in the spirit realm were gathered upon one spot on the earth, the Garden of Gethsemane. Heaven's eyes looked downward, hell's looked upward. Their point of focus, this little garden in Jerusalem. Because it was here that the Lord Jesus would engage his adversary in the great war, the battle for the souls of mankind. On earth, the Lord had journeyed to this little spot and brought with him three of his most dependable and closest allies. When they paused in their journey into the garden, Jesus said to the three, "Sit here while I go and pray." And then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. So stay here and watch with me." And he left them about a stone's throw away, and he fell on his face and began to cry out to the Father. A short time later, he returned and found his friends sleeping. And he said to them, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He left them again, praying diligently, crying out, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." He came back once more where he had left his disciples, and for a third time, he found them asleep. He left them again with his heart so heavy, crying out again, "My Father, your will be done." On the third time, on his return, he said to his disciples, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. My betrayer is at hand." In this Gethsemane event, recorded in Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 18, Jesus asks in that moment of history a question to his disciples, a question that has importance and application to us today. The question of interest is the stinging indictment. Could you not watch and pray, with me 1 hour. Could you not watch and pray, engaging in my struggle, engaging in this battle? Could you not stay with me and pray for 1 hour? Because the truth is, folks, not everyone, in fact, not anyone has the exact same gifts as everyone else. God has given to us through His Spirit gifts as He chooses. So not all of us can stand up here and sing on the praise team. Not all of us can stand back and play an instrument. Not all of us can teach. Not all of us can lead. But my friend, all of us can pray. Could you not watch with me and pray 1 hour? What was his disciples' problem? 3 times he went back to them, asking them to stay awake and to pray. What was their issue? These were good men. These were holy men. These were Jesus' closest friends. It's not that they wanted to disappoint him. It's not that they wanted to trip up and fall, that they wanted to stay asleep and be asleep every time that he came back. What was the disciples' issue? Why did they have such difficulty staying awake and seeking God upon the Lord's behalf? Well, I think this morning a penetrating look into this sacred spiritual experience can translate what happened back then, the first century, into today, 2019. So that we can see the problems, excuses, and deficiencies of the disciples then have application for us today. Could you not watch and pray? Could you not stay awake? Could you not engage with me in this hour of holy need? Watch and pray. First, let's contrast the differences between Jesus and the disciples. Jesus had an urgency about him. He had a passion about him. He had a tenacity about him. He cried out to the Father with his whole heart. His soul was, he described it, exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. There was such passion in the Lord in that moment. On the other hand, the disciples seemed to be indifferent. They were nonchalant in their attitude. There was almost a disregard for the call of God. There just seemed to be something going on in the mind and heart of the Lord Jesus that the disciples were not getting, that they were not understanding, they were not grasping, something that Jesus sees that the disciples don't. There's something in that moment that the Lord feels that the disciples aren't. You know they wanted to be faithful. You know they wanted to be strong. But they failed. They failed miserably, in fact. This morning, I think we can identify 2 distinct causes. 2 vital explanations why the disciples disappointed the Lord. Why they could not watch and pray for an hour. And again, please understand the application of their failure has great application and inference for you and me now. What was their issue? Two things. First of all, I think there was spiritual ignorance on their part. And secondly, there was emotional impoverishment. Now hang with me. First of all, spiritual ignorance. It is evident. It is evident that the disciples did not understand what was going on in that garden. They did not grasp the enormity, the immensity, the spiritual overwhelming part of that moment in the garden. Jesus had the weight of the world upon his soul. He knew the Father's will was to journey through the cross. And the weight, can you imagine not just going through the cross event, but being God, knowing exactly how that was going to feel and what you were going to have to endure. But the disciples were ignorant of the overwhelming spiritual moment that was taking place in the garden. It's not that they were insensitive, not that they were callous. They just didn't understand. They were missing the moment. They didn't hear what Jesus was saying. They just missed it. And so, they slept. As heaven battled hell for the souls of mankind, the disciples slept. Imagine, had the Father opened up the curtain from the physical into the spiritual. Imagine, had the disciples been able to see what was really going on in that moment. They would have seen the sky filled with holy angels of God gathering with swords of fire ready to battle at the Lord's command. The forces of God at attention, ready to hear the call of the Holy One to declare war. And they would have seen the forces of hell. They would have seen Satan's agents. They would have smelled the stench and the sulfur that hell is. And they would have been overwhelmed at what was real in that moment that they were unable to grasp. Could you not watch and pray with me 1 hour? Why can't we? Why can't you? What is it about us that prayer is so difficult, that the calling of God into communion and communication and to praying for one another. What is it about our gathering ourselves individually or in a group that is so difficult when it comes to prayer? If only we understood. If only we could see. I'm telling you, when you close your eyes at night to go to bed and you mumble a prayer of thanksgiving or need or desire unto the Lord, if He could open that sky to see, and you would see a battle lines being drawn, you would see battles over the souls of people, some you know. You would see the enemy in deceptive ways trying to cause people you love to stumble and fall. You would see the enemy trying to gain ground and territory toward heaven and heaven fighting back against it. You would see the battle lines of heaven and hell. Could you not watch and pray? Not only spiritual ignorance, but emotional impoverishment. In this event, it's easy to miss a key word in the text. In Luke 22, 45, when Jesus found His disciples for the third time asleep, He called it sleeping from sorrow. This word sorrow has a powerful meaning and great implication to the disciples. They were asleep from sorrow. The word sorrow means to be filled with tremendous anguish. This word sorrow means to be overwhelmed by burden, to be filled with sadness and grief. It wasn't just that the disciples were tired. It wasn't that they were lazy. It was that they were emotionally done. Remember, they had left everything to follow Him. He had been their closest friend for 3 years. Everything about them, their today, their tomorrow, their destiny depended upon Him. And just before this, He had told them, "I won't be long with you." He had told them, "I'm going to be leaving you." What did that do to them? Can you imagine being lost and left? Can you imagine what fear rolled through their minds? With Him gone, what would they do? With Him gone, what would be done to them? Peter jumped up and said, "No, it's not going to happen." And Jesus said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You have not in mind the things of God, but the things of man." So they're left with the reality that the one they love is going to be leaving. They were drowning in sorrow and in sadness. And we know what that's like. We've been there. We know what it is to carry a burden so heavy. That sometimes all we can do is just cry out the word, "God, God, help me." We know what it is to have such a heaviness upon our heart that we can't even pray. That we're so overwhelmed on the inside that the body just loses all energy and the ability to function. We know what it is to be done emotionally wiped. It's easy to point a finger at these guys and criticize them. It's easy to mock and point fingers. Why couldn't you watch and pray even 1 hour? But the reality is, why can't we? Why aren't you? Why is it so hard for all of us, any of us, me and you, to watch and pray for 1 hour? I found this essay a number of years ago, and I think I shared it one time on a Wednesday night here, but I want to take a moment and share it with you this morning. You'll need to listen carefully because it's very descriptive about prayer. Listen. As never before, my will, as in my choice, and I stood face to face. I ask my will the straight question. Will, are you ready for an hour of prayer? Will answered, I am. I'm quite ready if you are. And so Will and I linked arms and we turned to go for our time of prayer before the Lord. But all at once, the emotions began pulling the other way and protesting, we are not coming. I saw Will stagger. So I asked him, Will, can you stick it out? Will replied, yes, if you can. So Will and I got down to praying. We dragged those cantankerous, wiggling emotions with us. It was a struggle all the way through. At one point, when Will and I were in the middle of an earnest intercession, I suddenly found one of those traitorous emotions had snared my imagination and run off to the golf course. And it was all I could do to drag that wicked rascal back. A bit later, I found another of these emotions sneaking away with some off-guarded thoughts. I found myself in the pulpit 2 days ahead of schedule, preaching a sermon that I'd not even finished preparing. At the end of that hour, if you had asked me, did you have a good time in your hour of prayer? I would have had to reply, no. It was a wearying wrestle with my contrary emotions and truant imagination from beginning to end. What's more, that battle with the emotions continued for 2 to 3 weeks. If you had asked me at the end of that 3-week period, have you had a good time in your daily praying? I would have had to confess no. At times it seems as though the heavens are brass, that God is distant, and the Lord Jesus is strangely aloof, and that my prayers are accomplishing nothing. But something indeed was happening. For one thing, Will and I taught those emotions that we were completely independent of them. Also, one morning, about 2 weeks after the contest began, just when Will and I were going for another time of prayer, I overheard one of the emotions whisper to the other one, "Come on, guys, it's no use. They're going to go anyway. Let's just stop resisting." Well, that morning, for the first time, even though the emotions were still uncooperative, they at least acquiesced, which allowed Will and me to get on with prayer undistracted. But then another couple of weeks later, what do you think happened? During my time of prayer, when Will and I were no more thinking of the emotions than the man on the moon, one of the most vigorous of the emotions unexpectedly sprang up and shouted, "Hallelujah!" At which the other emotions exclaimed, "And amen!" And for the first time, the whole of my being, intellect, will, and emotions were united in one coordinated prayer operation. And suddenly, God was real. Heaven was open. The Lord Jesus was luminously present. The Holy Spirit was indeed moving through my longings, and prayer was surprisingly real and vital. And moreover, in that instant, there came a sudden realization that heaven had been watching and listening all the way through, even in those early days of struggling against mood and mutinous emotions, also that I had been undergoing necessary tutoring by my heavenly teacher. I will confess, in my Christian life, all of these years, I feel like a failure at prayer. I've gone through times when prayer was very real to me, when there was consistent, holy communion with God, when the Lord filled my heart and I couldn't wait for those times together. But then something would happen, some circumstance in life, and I would miss one day, and then 2 days later, and then 3 days, and the consistency rolled away. So I'd have to start again. But I want you to know, when I came to this passage, and I began to study this passage just this last couple of weeks, would you not stay and pray with me for 1 hour? And I realized how the disciples so missed the spirit realm in the garden. That the Lord was inviting them to help him in spiritual warfare. That when the drawing is on my heart to pray, when the calling of God is on my heart to seek Him, it's for purpose. It's for plan. That there is a holy moment gathering in the spirit realm. And the Father is telling me to get on the front line and to be a warrior and a soldier and to pray. And I want to invite you this morning to do the same thing. In the days to come, Lord willing, I want to start a prayer ministry here. In fact, and I wait on the Lord's timing, but in every church I've pastored, we've been able to start an intercessory prayer ministry where we set up a board and go from 8 to 8 in 1 hour segments, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and people sign up. Could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? And we get a book together of needs and problems, and people begin to find out that we will pray for them, and so calls come in, and names are etched in the book, and the issues, the prayer needs are there. And as we watch and pray for 1 hour, we can go through that prayer book and pray for these needs that have come in and stand on the front line interceding when the spirit realm is gathered at that home, knocking on that door. May God give us that opportunity soon. I was moved by this study personally, privately. Could you not watch with me 1 hour and pray? I invite you. I invite you to do the same, to join with me.